Today's shiur will be beginning Vova Basra Daf Kuf Ches Omed Aleph, the beginning of the 8th perek. We recommend printing out the Daf Gemara beforehand. The 8th perek's topic is one of inheritance. The focus of the Gemara, for the most part, will be dealing with inheritance as is perceived by the Torah. When you enter the realm of practical and applied halacha, there are many additional facets that one does not necessarily see in the Gemara, especially the realm of the wife inheriting upon a husband's demise. So when one is interested in looking at the practical application of laws of inheritance, one ought to consult with the proper halachic authorities. The Mishnah begins with four categories of inheritance. The Mishnah, after presenting the four categories, will proceed to explain who fits into each category. We recommend looking carefully at the psukim from the Torah that deal with Parshas Nachlos. They're found in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chof Zayin, Psukim Ches through Yud Aleph. We've offered them on the side, the outside margin. You'll notice these psukim appear. What we will do now is, before even reading the Mishnah, we'll read the psukim, and in the course of the perek, there will be necessity to make reference to these psukim from time to time. So, beginning with the psukim on the outside margin, Parshas Nachlos, Pasuk Ches, Ish ki yomus uvein ein lo, person when he dies and he does not leave a son, a male son, v'havartem es nachloso lebito. Then the next in line for inheritance is his daughter, the deceased's daughter. Vim ein loy bas, unesatem es nachlosoi le'echov. If he doesn't leave a daughter, so the inheritance, the estate, would go to his brothers, the deceased's brothers. Vim ein loy achim, posuk yud, unesatem es nachlosoi le'achei oviv. If he doesn't leave brothers, the estate would go to his uncles, specifically his father's brothers. V'im ein achim le'oviv, unesatem es nachlosoi l'she'eroi hakoroiv elov mi'mishpachtoi. If he doesn't have uncles, father's brothers, so then the estate is transferred to she'ero, a word that we cannot define at this point, for it is the subject of a major discussion in the Gemara. So the estate goes to she'ero, hakorov elov, mi'mishpachtoi, v'yorash oisa. We will see in the Gemara, in a few dapim, that this pasuk is becomes a treated in the ultimate oral law tradition, meaning that the simple reading of the pasuk loses practically all meaning, which of course is Judaism's uniqueness over all the other nations of the world who've adopted as part of their belief system the written Bible. Judaism prides itself on its connection, adherence to the oral tradition, which serves to give the true meaning behind the verses. This pasuk, as we said earlier, will be a classic example of that. That being said, the pasuk continues and says, "V'hoysa livnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat kasher tzivu Hashem es Moshe," and this shall be a rule as was commanded by the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Kodesh God Himself, gave these laws over to Moshe along with the rest of the Torah. We turn now to the Mishnah. Yesh noichlin umanchilin. There are those that inherit, and manchilin we can explain as bequeath. V'yesh noichlin velo manchilin. There are those that inherit, but they're not in the position to pass their estate over. Manchilin velo nochalin. There are those that give, that pass their estate over, that in effect their estate is inherited by someone, but they themselves don't receive. Loi, category 4, lo noichalin velo manchilin. Now, the Mishnah explains itself. The elu noichalin umanchilin. The following are participants in a two-way street. Namely, they serve to, their estate is bequeathed unto someone else, and they are also in the position to inherit from. Aleph, the first of these examples under category 1, Ho'av es habonim. We should have noted earlier, but as is said, better late than never. When we were reading the psukim, there was reference to one's children, reference to one's brothers, to the deceased's brothers, reference to the deceased's uncles. There was no reference in the psukim to one's father. Where does one's father figure in the scheme of things? The Mishnah tells us that the father is in the category of father with regard to children, father-son relationship. Ho'av es habonim, v'habonim es ho'av. The father bequeaths his estate, or is his estate is transferred through inheritance to his sons, and the father also can inherit from his sons. The bonim es ho'av, also, the sons can inherit from their father, and they also have their estate can be transferred to their father. Ve'ho'achin min ho'av. These are brothers who have a common father. We'll take a look at the Rashbam, where you see an asterisk in the lower section of the narrow lines. Ho'av noichel es habonim. Vagam manchil lohem. A father nochel es habonim. That means he can inherit. He causes them to receive inheritance. He inherits from them, we should say more accurately. Vagam manchil lohem, he also gives over to them. Ukegoin she'en lo'oisan habonim zera. Oz nochel oisam ho'av. The phrase of the father inheriting from the sons is only when those sons themselves have no descendants. Aval im yesh lahem bonim, if the son himself has his own children, namely grandsons of the father, heim koidmin l'ziknom, children, or we'll say grandchildren, are earlier in the line of inheritance to their grandfather. They're earlier than their grandfather. Continuing in the Mishnah. Nochalin umanchilin is the conclusion of the first category. You can see it has a double underline. As you're already aware, this is one of our series markings. And you'll see the categories of the Mishnah emphasized as each one is presented. The second category, hence you see the number 2 corresponding to the opening number 2, this will be a category of people that are noichalin velo manchilim. They receive but do not pass over. Ha'ish es imo. A person with regard to his mother, we can say as follows. He inherits from his mother. However, if he dies and his mother is still alive, his mother does not inherit from him. Vo'ish es ishto. Likewise, a person who's married and he dies, he in Vo'ishas Ishto, more accurately, if the wife dies, not the man, if the wife dies, so the man inherits from her, but if he dies, she does not inherit from him. Once again, we're talking about strict Torah law without the fine tunings that one finds in the practical halachic applications of things. We're not getting into all of the ksuba provisions and Tosefes ksuba provisions and all other type of legal technicalities that arise in this rather complicated area of halacha. And also, b'nei achoyos. The relationship here is one of a child of a woman who has a brother. So the nephew, if you will inherit his sister's brother. The son, once again, a nephew, can inherit his uncle. Who are we talking about? His mother's brother. They are nochalin velo manchilin. When that nephew dies and his mother's brother is still alive, the uncle does not inherit from him. The third category, ho'isha espino, and we'll see that the third category, as we saw at the opening of the Mishnah, is the one of manchilin velo nochalin. So ho'isha espino boneha, a mother is manchila to her children. Her estate is inherited by her children. However, when her children die and she's still alive, she does not inherit from them. For isha as baila, the wife with regard to her husband, she's manchil to her husband, but she's not nocheles from him. She does not inherit from him. V'achei ho'em. These are all manchilin v'lo nochalin. Notice, of course, if one looks at this Mishnah very carefully, he'll see that section 3 and section 2 are mirror images of each other. In other words, achei ho'em is the case of the uncle with regard to his nephew, the uncle, that namely a person's mother's brother, that uncle, manchil, he passes his estate to his sister's son, but will not inherit from his sister's son in the event that the nephew dies, leaving him around. So as we said, these people are manchilin velo nochalin. Category 4, v'ho'achin min ho'em, these are brothers who have a common mother, though they have different fathers. Loi noichalin v'loi manchilim. There is no inheritance relationship between them at all. We now turn to the Gemara. But before we do that, we'll take advantage of our topic heading in the outside margin. The Nosei, Lama Hatana Posach B'dugma Shel Av HaNoichel Es Bonov Dehavi Simin Klola. Looking at the first example of our Mishnah, when the Mishnah started to present examples, under Category 1 it spoke about those that are Nochalin U Manchilin, those that inherit from and bequeath unto, and pass over unto. The first example was a father, his sons, aves abonim, which means a father inherits from his sons, and a father's estate can be passed on to his sons. But the very first example is a father inheriting from his sons. What, in effect, are we describing? We're describing a situation where a person's child died. That is a curse. to have one's children die in one's own lifetime. The Gemara begins with a question, and you'll notice that this is a long question. The space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, you notice the kuf long question marking. My shna de kotani ha'av es habonim bereisha. Why is it that the Mishnah chose to teach that example at the very beginning, the example of a father inheriting from his deceased son? That situation, as the Rashbam explains, is a situation where not only did one's son die in his lifetime, but his son left no children. They're too clueless in that scenario. One is the son dying without any children, and the second one is a father seeing his own son die in his lifetime. So that's the first question. That's the beginning of a question. The Gemara continues in its question. Listen, it would have been better to teach alternatively, Habonim es ho'av bereisha. This would have been the best example, that bonim, children inherit from their father. Teach that at first. Why? Chado de aschuli beparnusa lo mischalinon. To start with the current first example is an example of opening something that has a negative aspect, that puranus literally means something of a punishment nature. We don't start topics, we don't start books, we don't start things with puranus, the example being the son dying in his father's lifetime. The oid kidichtiv, and furthermore, the Tana should have chosen an example like that is found in the scriptures, in the psukim themselves, where what is described, where a father's dying is described, as it says in the pasuk, Ish ki yamus ubein ein lo. A father dies and he doesn't have a son, but rather he has a daughter. So the pasuk itself opened up with a case of a father dying, albeit doesn't leave a son, but he leaves a daughter. Not like our Mishnah, which opened up with a son dying, leaving his father. The Gemara answers something that on a deep level would appear to be quite traumatic. Vitana, what was the Tana's consideration? Aidi de asiole midrosha chavivole. The concept or the institution of a father inheriting from his son is derived from scriptural analysis as opposed to things stated openly by the verses. The idea here that we mentioned a few minutes earlier, that the Parsha of Nachlos is governed in large part by the oral tradition. Because of this phenomenon, the Chachomim, the Rabbonon, the Tanoim, got real excited. They got really excited about this, about seeing the functioning of the oral tradition, and that created a sense of possible joy on their part and affinity, and they felt that we're going to give that preeminence, and so that even though what would be described as a negative situation, but since it derives from the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's an overcompensating factor, or a compensating factor, to give it preeminence. The Gemara now asks, once you mentioned that the father's inheriting from the son is derived from drosha, from oral tradition, so, my drosha, so what is that drosha? We encounter one of our series markings now. Let us take a look at the outside margin, the mivneh. This particular marking, called a crown image, if you will, Mekoros de Oviv Shel Hames. These are sources that the father of the deceased Kodem Le Ochiv Shel Hames Benachla. That a father comes before the deceased's brothers in line of inheritance. As we mentioned earlier, the presence of a father inheriting from his son is not found explicitly in the psukim. So where are we to know this from? Before we continue, it's worth noting that the first attempt, the first demonstration of the drosha, of a drosha, is found here and is indicated by the Roman numeral 1 in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. If you have available Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, if it's available on your screen, so scroll ahead, and if you've ordered your personal edition of the Shas Ozer, you just glance over at the next Amud. You notice the lower part, the same geometric form, number 2. Continuing on the outside margin, we have a topic heading, Nosei, Oviv Shel Hames, the father of the deceased. Aleph, Koidem Ochiv Shel Hames, he has precedence over the brother of the deceased. Beis, Eino Koidem Livnoi Shel Hames. However, he does not come before, he does not have precedence over the son of the deceased. The Gemara continues. We raise the question, Umay Drosha, what is the Drosha indicating father inherits from his son? Desanya, She'eroi. This word was found in the psukim that we read earlier. So one can glance at the posuk, and he sees that this appears in posuk Yud Aleph, where the posuk said, Ve'im ein achim lo'oviv unesatim es nachloso l'she'eroi hakorov elov. The word she'ero indicates father. We have a little asterisk here in the Gemara indicating to glance at the note on the inside margin. It says, Yesh litzayin shebehemshech haperek daf kuf yud aleph omid beis. On page kuf yud aleph omid beis, mofia dea batanoim shedore she'ero zu ishto. Just be aware that the word she'ero has a different meaning according to other authorities. At this point, though, we're going to be looking at the word Ashero, referring to one's father. Melamed, it teaches us, Sheho'av koidein le'achin. That the father comes before the deceased's brothers. Yocho yehei koidein laben. Could it be that the deceased's father preempts, has precedence over the deceased's son? Talmud Loimer HaKoroiv. That's what the Pasuk says. Also in Pasuk Yud Aleph, that word appears, HaKoroiv, Koroiv, Koidem. The closer the person is, the earlier in line of inheritance is he to be found. Simply stated, the son of the deceased is considered closer to the deceased than the father of the deceased. We will see as the Gemara unfolds that the idea of closeness too is not necessarily one of an emotional categorization of affinity and love, etc. and so forth. Closeness is determined by some type of halachic connection to the party. The Gemara will cite several connections, halachic categories, halachic issues, in which we see a connection between two parties. For example, there's an institution known as Yibum, where a person dies leaving no children, but leaving an almona, leaving a widow. The halacha of the Torah is that the deceased's widow, the widow that remains, she marries the deceased's brother in the hope of the brother producing a family. And that is a form of closeness as far as this halacha, as far as this Gemara is concerned. Yibum. Another halachic category that Gemara will mention is something called Yi'ud. Yi'ud is a situation where a person acquired a girl to be in, to serve him, an amo ivriya, and without getting into the details of that whole parsha, when a person acquires an amo ivriya, a Jewish girl, up, and we're talking about girls up till the age of 12, the Torah has this anticipation that the person who bought her would actually marry her. In the event that he does not marry her, the Torah makes a reference to the son of he who bought her, the son, his son would marry her. That marriage is called Yi'ud. So, as opposed to Yibum, which we said is a relationship between two brothers, where the brother of the deceased marries the widow, this is a relationship between an individual and his son, where the son, where an individual is said to be close to his son, as formed by this halachic category called Yi'ud, where if he doesn't marry the Amo Ivriya, so his son would marry her. There's another halacha that the Gemara will make reference to, and that's called Sdei Achuza. Sdei Achuza is a situation where a person is makdish, he dedicates to the temple fund his inherited land, land that he inherited from his father, property that is, we can say, is in the family generation after generation. Without getting into details of that element of inheritance, but on a simple level, we can view it as Sdei Achuza is that which is property inherited. If a person dedicates it to the temple and he doesn't redeem it, doesn't buy it back, and the Yovel year comes, he loses his rights to seeing that property ever again. He doesn't get it back. Unlike, of course, properties that are sold from one private person to another, we know that when the Yovel year comes, the properties that were sold are returned to their original owners. Of course, these are halachas that apply when the Yovel was applying. That actually ceased quite a while ago in Jewish history. But as far as we're concerned, we're dealing with the Torah laws. So the halacha of Sdei Achuza states that a person who dedicates his inheritance field, if he does not redeem it from the temple, we said he doesn't get it back when the Yovel arrives. So he has the option of redeeming it. There's another halacha that says his son can redeem it. And if his son redeems it, it will go back in the Yovel year to his father. What about other relatives redeeming the Sdei Achuza that the individual dedicated? If other relatives redeem it, it does not go back to the father. It does not go back to the individual that dedicated it. So what do we see? The only one who has this power of redemption and ensuring it to go back to the one who dedicated is one's son. So we see once again a bond formed between son and father. The Gemara now continues after we mentioned these categories. We're not going to explain them again in any great detail. We're just going to work with these title headings, namely Yibum, Yi'ud, and Stei Achuza. The Gemara continues, Uma rois l'rabois es haben u'lehoitzi esoach. What did the Tana see in saying that the son comes before, the son of the deceased comes before the father of the deceased in line of inheritance? U'lehoitzi esoach, and excluded the brother of the deceased, namely that the brother of the deceased does not come before the father of the deceased. Simply stated, why does the Tana feel that the son is so close? Answer, Marbe ani es haben, shekein kom tachas oviv liya'ado ulestei achuza. A son is said to be very close to his father, in that the son participates in the mitzvah of Yi'ud and in the redeeming of the dedicated inheritance field, the Stei Achuza. Adarabba, you could say to the contrary, Marbe ani esoach, let us include the brother of the deceased as being the closest in line of inheritance, in the sense that the brother of the deceased has a special relationship. She came kom tachas ochiv liyibum. He is the one that performs the mitzvah of yibum. The Gemara answers that if you pit the son of the deceased versus the brother of the deceased, imagine the two of them are standing next to each other, and you have to make a decision who is closer to the deceased, the son of the deceased or the brother. The answer to that is very simple. If there is a son left to the deceased, there is no mitzvah of Yibum. So the very presence of a son in such a question of who would be closer, the son or the brother, if there is a son, there is no Yibum. In other words, the brother loses all significance. The Gemara says, Klum yesh Yibum, elo b'mokom she'ein ben. Ha b'mokom she'yesh ben, ein Yibum. So as we said, would there be any Yibum if there is a son? If there's a son, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Hence, the brother of the deceased has no significance when pitted against the son of the deceased. The Gemara will present a question on what we just said, which, Amir Tzashem, will be the topic of the opening of the next shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.